That. Amen. That's good. All right. If you got your Bible, turn to Psalm 74, please, this morning. Psalm 74 and verse 4. Psalm 74 and verse number 4. The infallible text says in Psalm 74 and verse 4, "Thine enemies roar in the midst of thy congregations. They set up their ensigns for signs." Father, I pray now that you'd bless this holy word as it goes forth. Father, I am satisfied and happy to be the messenger. Lord, I know that's my calling. Now, Father, I pray that you'd use this service this morning and what's said for your glory, and do what you please with what we do here. In thy holy name, amen. Amen. I call your attention to the word the scripture says, they set up their ensigns for signs. In plain words, they want to physically, visibly manifest who they are, what they believe, where they stand. And so the Lord God said, now take note of that. They like to march. They like to march on Washington. They like to carry their signs when they march on Washington. They like to let the whole world know who they are and where they stand and what they're all about. And there's really nothing wrong with that, because I like it when somebody shows me their true colors, don't you? But it's just that I have a right to disagree with them. I want to preach you a message this morning entitled, The Parade. I want to talk about the parade. Just a few days ago, tens of thousands of people merged on Washington, D.C. They came from the four corners of America, maybe some of them even from other parts of the world. While they were marching, they say that other people were marching in other parts of the world in solidarity with them. These people, as they approached the capital of the United States of America, had a message. They were evangelists. They were telling the world something. They wanted them to hear it. And they also had a spirit attached to them. No question about it. If you had been there, then you would have understood completely the spirit associated with these people. I read where an evangelist, a street preacher, God bless him, was up there when these people came by and they spat on him. They would spit on him and treat him with absolute, utter contempt. That again shows you the spirit of these people, what motivates them, what animates them, and where they receive their inspiration. And so they marched in the street. And so the news media covered it. And so the whole world watched as these people marched after the day after the inauguration. The spirit that permeated this place was the spirit of Cain, who killed his brother Abel. It was a murderous spirit, and we'll talk about that in a little while. But no question in my mind that a murderous spirit was there. It was also the spirit of Nimrod, the spirit of a one-world government, the spirit of the first Antichrist, anti-God. It was the spirit of Herod the Great, the one who killed all the little children. They have no problem killing little children. It seems that they love to shed the blood of little children. The Bible said these six things that the Lord hates, yea, seven, are an abomination unto him. And one of them is hands that shed innocent blood. Don't mess with the children. You'll get on God's wrong side real fast. And it was also the spirit of Judas Iscariot. He was the betrayer that kissed the gates of heaven and went to hell. And so we have all these spirits coming together, and these people are marching in the streets of Washington, D.C., and they've got a message. And they wanted you to hear their message. One group shouted, and I'll show you a photograph of the sign that they carried. They shouted, "We are the granddaughters of the witches you weren't able to burn." So you see the connection they're making themselves. "We are the granddaughters of the witches
you weren't able to burn. Now, it doesn't take long to figure out who the you is. They're certainly making a reference back to the Puritan fathers who burned the witches, and to the Old Testament where it says, suffer not a witch to live, but I have no desire to burn anybody at the stake. I want you to understand that this morning. I'm not out to kill anybody. I'm not up here this morning to threaten anybody's life. If you remember, the Lord Jesus Christ told His disciples when they said, now, Lord, we've got a group down here, and they're not your disciples. Let's call fire down from heaven like the Old Testament prophet did. And the Lord Jesus said back to them, you don't know what spirit you're of. We didn't come to destroy men's lives. We came to save them. So no death coming out of this pulpit. No killing from this pulpit. No. And my dear friend, I want you to understand, though, they are identifying themselves with the witches. Not only are they identifying themselves with the witches, but we have those who identified themselves with the Satanists. They were in this group too, carrying their signs. Remember what the psalmist said? They carry their signs. They want you to know whose side they're on, what they're about. That pentagram, folks, that five-pointed star is the classic sign of a Satanist. You say, well, if Satanism is a bad thing, it sure is. What about when you have two little kids looking up at Baphomet? This is Baphomet. This is a physical representation of Satan. This is Aleister Crowley's Baphomet. This is the one who reached into the spirit world and got inspiration from hell itself. This is what they're talking about, not just Baphomet. It's about the little children. See the little children here? See the little innocent children? They're being brainwashed. They're being initiated into the worship of Satan, of Lucifer. There's only one power that is higher than this one, and that is that one that sits on that throne 24/7, who's the Lord God Almighty of heaven and earth. That's the only one you can cry out to that can dethrone this monster right here. And so they marched, and they marched by their tens of thousands, and the parade goes on. They're headed to the capital of the United States of America, to the seat of government of this great land. And they wanted to make a statement, and make a statement they did. Just a few days ago, I was reading an article about Noah's Ark. I've been to Noah's Ark. It's up there in Williamstown, Kentucky. I urge you to go see Noah's Ark. It's one of the most magnificent things I've seen in my lifetime. You won't be disappointed. The first thing that will take you aback is when you stand back from that and just take in the size of this ark. It's huge. But the builders of this replica built it according to the scale that they had in the Word of God from the book of Genesis. The ark really did exist, folks. God did carry 8 souls from the old world into the new world. That ark is a type of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's got a message, my dear friend, running from front to back in that ark. Amen. But did you know that this freedom from religion crowd, do you know that the progressive liberals there in Kentucky, some of the parents were trying to get up a thing where at the end of the school year, they were going to take their kids to see the ark. They wanted to give them a little bit of education, take the blinders off and say, this is a piece of history. Well, these people came out against it and they said, we are not going to stand for this. School is to educate and not indoctrinate. Oh, that's high sounding words. Oh, that really sounds like they're talking about something. School, they said, is to educate and not indoctrinate. I thought to myself, my goodness gracious, that's quite a remarkable thing. I wonder why it is then that when the kids come out of the public school system, they come out of there hating the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is it that we have so much unbelief and so much paganism and so much infidelity coming in the educational system if it is simply to educate? Let me tell you about education, my dear friend. Education is when you understand your position that you stand on, and it's because you know what the other side believes. You've read what they've said. You've been to their holy sites. You understand you have a good broad spectrum of knowledge, and then you still take the same position because you compare it with their position, and by doing the same, you've been educated. You see, my dear friend, I understand what a Shinto believes. I understand what a Muslim believes. I understand what a Buddhist believes. Believe me, I do. I understand all of that stuff. And I want to tell you something this morning. I'm still a Christian. Amen. Amen. As a matter of fact, I understand what that crowd believes that tears up my Bible. I've had Greek and Hebrew just like they have. And they point out mistakes in my Bible all the time. And a constant barrage against this book right here. And let me tell you something. I still believe that Bible is the Word of God. Education is not somebody that's been brainwashed to reject the truth of the Word of God. If you don't know the Bible, you haven't been educated. You just think you have. You've been brainwashed. But you see, in April the 20th in 1999, in a place called Littleton, Colorado, a high school called Columbine, two young men, Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold, had planned for over a year. They'd made their plans. They drank their liquor. They made their videos. They practiced their shooting. They stockpiled their weapons. They did everything necessary to prepare for the great day, April the 20th, 1999. And they were products, my dear friend, of their system. And do you know what these two did? How many in here today are under the age of 18? Raise your hands. We got a bunch of them in here under 18. You see, when this happened, I was watching, I was listening, I was reading when Columbine took place. And let me tell you what happened that day. These two monsters took their weapons that morning. They went into that high school and they started murdering kids. They started shooting them dead. One had a sawed-off 12-gauge shotgun. One had a 9mm automatic weapon. And I don't know what that other weapon was. But these three monsters went into that school and they started killing these kids. They come up to one girl named Rachel Scott. And they looked at her and they shot her in the face and killed her. They came to another one called Cassie Bernal. And Cassie Bernal, they said to her, "Are you a Christian? Do you believe in God?" And she looked into the face of this murdering monster. And she said, "Yes, I do." And this monster killed her. Murdered her right there on the spot. Here was when courage and cowardice came together. Courage and cowardice. I wonder if these two cowards, if they were looking down the barrel of a gun, I wonder how they would have responded if their life had been on the line. But they blew them away. They murdered these kids in that high school that day. A product, my dear friend, who trained them. Who brainwashed them? Who ruined them and destroyed their mind? Let me tell you something, folks. There is in this country a concerted effort to get God out of every part of a human being's life. They're trying to get wiped God from the face of the earth. They don't want Christ preached. They don't want the cross. They want nothing to do with any of that. If you can't see that, you're living in a cave. And so it was. So it was. That these two monsters right here, Dylan Klebold and Eric Harris, this is from a Time magazine that I bought in December of 1999. And I've had it laying up at my house for some time. Here he's Klebold. This is Klebold you see in the middle. And he's carrying a 9mm. I think that's an Uzi. I'm not sure. I don't know the weapon that well. But I know that that's an automatic weapon. You see the clip as it hangs down below there. And they're walking around shooting these kids to death, one right after another. And you know what they said in their tapes? They made a bunch of tapes at home. And they said in their tapes, "We are going to be famous. They're going to make movies after us. Our name is going to go all over the world." But let me tell you something, Mr. Harris and Mr. Klebold, you already know this. When Cassie Bernal said back to you, "I believe in God," and you said to her, "What for?" Well, let me tell you something right now. 5 seconds after they blew their brains out, they believe in God too. You better believe it. You better believe it. There are no atheists in hell. No, sir. There are no atheists in hell. And if you're a big enough a fool to leave this world like that and blow your brains out and think that that ends it all and just go out into eternity after you've murdered somebody like that, you're the biggest fool that ever lived. Because you've got to go out and face God. And so the march goes on. So they said the public school is to educate and not to indoctrinate. But my dear friend, I have a feeling that they've been educated against the truth of the Word of God. And so these two murderers have gone out into eternity. They've gone out to stand before Almighty God. While they were marching there in Washington, D.C., some of them got up and began to speak to the crowd. They got up and said to the crowd, one woman said, "I am a nasty woman." And the things that came out of her mouth, I say, I believe you. You are a nasty woman. But what you need to understand is that there's more going on than this verbal stuff coming from the mouth of these people. There's an underlying thing going on here. There's a spirit attached to this thing up there in Washington, D.C. Make no mistake about it, folks. This is not a joke. Yes, sir. They spat on the preacher of the Word of God. She got up and said, "I'm a nasty woman." I believe she's a nasty woman. These people pass by. They scream. They do things that I can't even tell you. In a mixed auditorium this morning. I've got photographs of stuff that these people had. And I thought to myself, I'm 70 years old and I haven't seen everything yet. Because some of the stuff I saw there amazed me. That they would carry it in public. Now it's up to you as how curious you are, but I warn you. If you do a search on these marchers in Washington, D.C., you will pull up stuff that will make you throw up. But once you do, if you bother to look at it, I'm going to warn you, you're going to find out that it goes much deeper than simply the sign they're carrying. There's a real agenda going on with these people. You understand why they're so mad? They're mad because for the first time in a long time, and that includes George W. Bush, that includes Bill Clinton, that includes Obama, that goes all the way back before them. For the first time in a long time, somebody has riled their feathers. Somebody has made them mad. These people have been stirred up. I wonder why. Anybody that's got half sense would wonder too. What's really going on? What is the agenda? They carried one of the most disgusting signs I've ever seen in my life. I have never in my lifetime seen anything like this. And I'm going to show it to you in just a moment. I remember when I was a boy in this town growing up, there were certain things that I never heard from the people who got drunk every Friday and Saturday night. There are certain things that people just did not do. That never darkened a church door. They never claimed to be Christians. They never claimed to know the Lord. But there were certain things you did not hear or see. But here's a sign. Remember, they carry their signs. And here's what it said. "If Mary had had an abortion, we wouldn't be in this mess." Kind of shocking, isn't it? There it is. "If Mary had had an abortion," in other words, Mary, the virgin daughter of Zion, Mary, the virgin that brought forth Christ, "if she had had an abortion, we wouldn't be in this mess." That introduces a couple of things there. Number one, the bold arrogance of these blasphemers. They have no fear of God. I don't know if you can see this, but I'll make it available. I'll leave it up here after the service. Come up and look at this. Look at the facial expression on these two right here. If you've ever seen mockery, you're seeing it here like you've never seen it before. Oh, they're so proud of what they're doing here. "If Mary had had an abortion, they're blaming our Lord Jesus Christ for all their problems." Let me tell you something this morning. If the Lord Jesus Christ had not lived, we would really have a problem. He has been the answer to every problem I've ever had. Amen. Amen. If I did not have the Son of God, I wouldn't have anything. Amen.
He saved my soul, wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and He gave me an eternal life and a home in heaven. But they said if Mary had had an abortion, we wouldn't be in this mess. I'm going to call your attention to something now. I'm going to give you the real reason for the march on Washington. Here's the real reason. This is the real reason. A-B-O-R-T-I-O-N. That is the rite of passage. That's what it's all about. The so-called a woman's right to her body. What are you talking about her body? That baby is not her body. Have you ever noticed, and I need to say this again, that every last abortionist that I've ever known in my lifetime has been somebody that was born? It's simple on the surface of it, but profound in the thought. Every last one of them have been born. Amen. Somebody let them be born. They wouldn't be able to walk the streets and try to kill babies if somebody hadn't shown mercy on them and let them be born. Yet they want to deny that birth and that life to an innocent baby. The argument is simple. For some of them, it's just a matter of life and death. It is simple on the surface. It is a matter of life and death. Because the idea is it's so final. Once you choose to kill that baby, you can't call it back. Once that baby is dead, it's dead, it's gone. You can't change that. You can't change your mind later on and say, well, I wish I could do something now to change. You can't do it. It is so final. Therefore, they say, well, a woman has a right to her body, and what about rape and incest and the life of the mother and this and that? And they'll always throw out some straw man that only deals with maybe 1 or 2% of all the abortions. Talk to these people that leave the abortion clinics. Talk to the nurses that have worked in there, that have had an epiphany, a change of mind, a change of soul. Somebody got to them, or God got to them, and they couldn't stand any more innocent blood. They couldn't take any more of it. Talk to them and they'll tell you, let me tell you something, half the story hasn't been told about the abortion mills. There's a quota that they have to meet once a month. It's about money in these abortion mills. It's not about helping women. It's about a dollar bill. And the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. And so I'll leave this up here for you. You can look at the face. The most remarkable thing is the face of these two cretins that are holding this sign right here. And they're saying, if Mary had had an abortion, we wouldn't be in this mess. You see, this is the real reason for the abortions today. It's this. This was projected on the buildings up there in New York City. Say, what is that? What in the world kind of a monster is that, preacher? That's Kali. That's one of the gods of the Hindus. Back in the 1800s, the British went into India and they had to deal with these thuggies, they call them. This is where we get the word thug. It comes directly from a thuggie. A thuggie was a worshiper of Kali. These people would go in bands. In groups, they would join up with a caravan in India in the 1800s and befriend them like they were traveling too. And then at night time or sometime when the people were vulnerable, they'd fall on them and they'd murder them and shed their blood. Blood was a big deal to these people. See the blood tongue? Do you know anybody that likes to stick her tongue out? Yeah, you do. You do. This is a big deal to these people. And they love to kill children. What are they doing? They're sacrificing to their God. That's what they're doing. They're sacrificing to their God. What do you mean, preacher? I mean abortion is a sacrifice. When you pick up the spirit of this world and the spirit of this age, abortion is not about a woman's right for anything. It's about killing babies and offering them to their God. Have you heard about the 60,000 kids that came across the border with Mexico? Have you heard about those kids? Little children that came across the border from Mexico, came into America. I think the figure's as high as 60,000.
Go type into the internet and do a Google search on it and ask this question. What happened to those 60,000 kids that came across the border from Mexico into this country? There are people who offer children on a constant basis to their gods. They love to sacrifice children. Little children come up missing all the time in this country. And the blood of an innocent child, Aleister Crowley said, the blood of an innocent child is the only way that you can get power with Satan. They love to shed the blood of innocent children. These six things that the Lord hates, yea, seven are abomination to Him. Hands that shed innocent blood. And so the man who in the office of president now is going to pick a Supreme Court justice who is pro-life. And this crowd is enraged because they're afraid that they're going to overturn Roe versus Wade. And one of the candidates for Supreme Court justice made this statement. He said that was the worst abomination that has ever hit this country, was Roe versus Wade. That's what that man said. That sounds like a good candidate for the Supreme Court. I would love to see the Supreme Court completely turn around and outlaw the murder of these little babies. Folks, listen. You can't stop these people from marching. You can't change your country, but you can stand for the truth. And you can support the truth. And they're coming out by their thousands and tens of thousands. And they're doing the very same thing. They're supporting the truth. That's quite a remarkable thing. Because the picture of Cali, this was taken just a few months ago. But on the same website is a photograph of the skyline of New York City that was taken on Easter. And I think this is 1956. Look at this. What is that? Crosses. Big crosses on, how many buildings we got here? Three huge buildings. Three crosses. This is back in the 50s. We've come a long way from crosses on the buildings in the 50s to Cali. In the 21st century. Then there's the personal part about it. This was written by a young lady named Melissa Ohden, O-H-D-E-N. Published January the 27th, 2017. This is her personal testimony. Would you like to hear it? Listen to what she says. She says, an abortion is forced upon a college student against her will. Miraculously or unfortunately, depending on which side of the abortion debate you're on, the abortion fails to scald the baby to death over the course of multiple days, and she's delivered alive. After the baby is delivered, demands are made to let her die. Nursing staff defy this order, God bless them. And she is whisked off to the nursery in hopes that if other people know that the baby was born alive, she'd have medical care provided and not simply be left to die. With the aid of medical care, love, and a healthy dose of a miracle, the little girl defies the odds and not only survives, but goes on to thrive. Lasting no long-term health consequences of the abortion attempt or being born at approximately 31 weeks. After finding out accidentally as a teenager that she survived an abortion, she didn't know it until she found it out later. She ultimately goes searching for her biological parents. That's natural. That's natural. God put a natural thing in your soul to love your mother and love your father. That's natural. That's natural. So she goes searching for her biological parents when she found out that they tried to abort her. Nothing could have prepared her for the reality. The circumstances surrounding her survival were even worse than she knew or could have ever imagined. Now listen to this carefully. If it wasn't enough to find out the abortion was forced upon her birth mother, she would ultimately learn that her own
grandmother, a nurse, was responsible for the forced abortion and was there when she was delivered, and sadly that it was her very grandmother who made the demand that she be left to die. Can you imagine finding that out? Your mother was forced into an abortion and your grandmother wanted you dead. Imagine what that'll do to you. You see, you'll never hear this pro-choice crowd ever read anything like this. But this young lady, I'll leave this up here. You can do a search on Google. She's got a website. It's got a photograph of her. Fine young woman. She's alive today. When I looked at her, you know, the first thing I thought, what about the 60 million? What would they be? Where would they be? What would they be doing today if they had been allowed to live? I want to prepare you for something now. A lot of you find a hard time believing this, but I'm going to prepare you for it. If they will kill an innocent child in its mother's womb, they will kill you. You live in la-la land if you don't believe that. If they will kill the most innocent among us, they will kill you. What are you saying? I'm saying these people will stop at nothing if they think their murderous lifestyle is threatened. They will do whatever they need to do to see to it that they continue to control this country as they have. 2017 promises to be a very interesting year. It would be a wonderful year for our Lord to come back. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something right now. When the Lord Jesus comes back, the parade is over. And I want you to know whose side I'm on this morning. If you want to kill babies, I don't have anything to do with you. Mark me off. And if you want to go around blowing up places like they did up there in Washington, they tore down storefronts, they burned limousines. This was the same part of the same crowd that marched on Washington, D.C. Anarchist. Anarchist. No law governs an anarchist. He's a law to himself. And so that's what you've got. Aren't you glad, thank God, that you heard the truth and you know the Lord Jesus and you're not that? Aren't you glad that you care for the little children? Suffer the little children, forbid them not to come to me, for such is the kingdom? Amen. The Lord Jesus, anybody ever loved little children? The Lord Jesus loves little children. Amen. We've had a thing back here not too long. What would Jesus do? He wouldn't kill babies. Amen. He wouldn't kill the little children. Folks, I hope it's a wake-up call for you this morning. I hope you understand how serious this issue is. I hope you'd understand, folks, that there is an element in this country that'll drag it straight into hell if somebody doesn't stand up against it. And thanks be unto God for His unspeaking. And I'm not telling you this today either. I have to say this always. I have to give this caveat. Donald Trump may not, you know, he may not turn out the way you want him to. I hope he does. Now, with all my soul, I hope he does. I hope he does. But my hope is not in a man. That's not our Savior. He's just a man. He's just a man. And somebody may kill him. These people are deadly serious about what they want and what they'll do. And I hope that never happens. But somebody may do that. Need to pray for him. Pray God will put a shield around him, protect him. And pray that God will use him. Father, in thy holy name we pray. I pray you'd bless the service. I pray, Father, for what I've said this morning. It may help somebody, may speak to their soul. And I pray in Jesus' name, and for Jesus' sake I ask it. And amen.